comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this glorious planet called Earth, thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. It's Friday night. That's weekend eve, but it's also the night we begin sending out the K-Files. I'll tell you a little about that in a minute. Some of you know all about that. Some of you, it's your first time to be here at the show. And so you don't know about that, and I'll tell you about it in a minute. We're here because you have a right to know, and because you matter. K-Files is our free weekly newsletter. No reason you shouldn't be getting it. And we've been publishing that since 2000 when the show first began back in Kosovo. And it's a good publication. So click where it says K-Files right there on my website. And subscribe! Then you'll get it too. Got an email that I want to share with you. This one from Cherie in Arizona. Although I lived for years in Arizona, I don't know Cherie. I don't know everybody in Arizona, you know. She says, Dear Mr. Smith, I have recently become interested in UFO and extraterrestrial topics since seeing a UFO myself. Well, you're in Arizona. It's a good place to see them. She says, I am glad to find out about your show from a friend who listens to it all the time. I watched some shows with him when you showed the pictures of engineering and a dry riverbed on Mars. It took my breath away because I had never seen anything like that before. So thank you for being there and for doing such a top-notch show. Cherie, thank you. I appreciate that email. And I invite all of you to email me. It's easy to do. Just click where it says contact. If you want to make a comment about a show that we've done or about something that was said on the show, then that's a listener comment. And that's what you click. And if you want to make a suggestion for a guest or a topic, or you want to suggest a link for me to look at or something like that, click suggestion. Now, the reason we use the contact page to get in touch with me is because I get thousands of emails. And the other day I had over 3,000 emails, and it's almost all spam. You know, my email address has been out there in public now for, 12 years? And so all the spammers have it, and I have very rigorous filters that filter out the spam so I can get down to what's real email for the show. And I had over 3,000. Out of that 3,000, I think we had about, close to 50 that out of 3,000 that were real emails. And the contact page, when you use that, it'll guarantee you get through the spam filters, all right? That's why we do it, to make sure that you get through, because I do want to hear from you. I do want to read your email. And I spend a lot of time every day reading email, and I respond to as much of it as I can. And so I'm anxiously awaiting to hear from you. All right, just click where it says contact. Tonight is free to watch night, and Cherie, if you were amazed, you're going to be amazed again. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. As I said, this is free to watch night. Now, we do this. We have a TV channel on the Internet, and it's in our members community. And so you have to be a member to watch normally. However, we do the free to watch night two or three times a month because we want everybody to get a taste of what they're missing. And it is, believe me, only a very small slice of the pie because in the members community, yes, you do get to watch the show live each night. But in addition to that, you have the archives, you have the forums, the chat room, the chat box, which a lot of people prefer to the chat room. It's right on the control panel page when you log in. Lots and lots of stuff in there. And all the inside information, the inside scoop on everything that's going on, it's all in there. We're 100% listener supported. I don't sell advertising. And so if the listeners want us to be here, we're here. If listeners don't want us to be here, then we're not here. And that's the way every show should be, I think. I invite you to stand with us. You know, if you like the show, join. We need you, and I guarantee you, you need what's in that members community. I show pictures and talk about pictures from the moon, from Mars, from Venus, from Mercury, Titan, which is one of the moons of Saturn, any place else where we're getting pictures from NASA that have anomalous things in them. I show you those pictures. Tonight I'm going to show you some pictures from Mars. And these pictures are not recent. They're not really old either, but they're not real recent. These are from the Spirit rover. But I think it's important to point out what is anomalous. Okay? Some of the pictures we look at, say from Mars or the moon, show things that it looks like a building. You know? It doesn't just kind of look like it. It looks like a building. In some cases, you can see doors. In some cases, you can see windows. That's anomalous. But that's not the only thing, that's not the only type of thing that would be anomalous. Now, tonight, Mars is up. And these pictures are NASA pictures. And you may be expecting, well, he's going to show us buildings or something like that. It's not that. An anomaly can be anything that isn't supposed to be. So what do you get told about Mars? Well, you get told it's a dead planet. The largest volcano in the solar system is on Mars. So far as we know, it's dead. But the largest volcano in the solar system, bigger than anything we've got on Earth, way bigger, it's on Mars. And Mars is a little bit less than half the size of Earth. So that's significant. That's real significant. We get told it's a dead planet. We get told it's geologically dead. It's biologically sterile. There's no biology there. Well, we get told that you know, maybe at some time in the distant past there may have been life on Mars, but it's not there now. And life could not exist there now because of the ultraviolet, extreme ultraviolet radiation that bathes Mars. Of course, people sometimes don't stop and think about that story. You know, they tell us there's almost no atmosphere. The atmospheric pressure, they say, is less than 1% of what we have here on Earth. Less than 1%. I have shown, demonstrated, and I think proven that their own data, their own actions, and their own evidence show that's not true. The atmospheric pressure on Mars is significantly higher than what they tell us. Wrote a book about that. Did a bunch of shows about it, series of shows, and then I've done a bunch of shows about it. And I get email from people who say, if you think Mars is Earth-like, you're crazy. Well, if you think I ever said it was Earth-like, you're crazy. I never said it was. But it's a whole heck of a lot more Earth-like than what they tell us. It's not Earth-like, but it's a lot more Earth-like than what they tell us. And their own evidence shows it. Do you know what a cockroach is? Of course you do. Did you know that cockroaches can live in areas where there is extreme radiation? They thrive in it. It'll kill you, but the hardy cockroach thrives. Now, they tell us that there can be no life on Mars. And there can be no life on Mars for a host of reasons. There's no water, they've said for years, and now they admit, well, by golly, there is. Yeah, there's water on Mars. And the existence of the water proves what they say about the atmosphere isn't true. But I won't get into all that. That's not what the show's about. I've done many shows on that, but think about that. But they say that because there's almost no atmosphere, that Mars is bathed in this intense ultraviolet radiation. And, you know, it's impossible that biology could happen with all of that. That's sterilizing. Well, it won't sterilize cockroaches right here on this planet. If we have biology right here on this planet that can live in conditions far more extreme than Mars, then why couldn't you have biology living on Mars? It is completely illogical to buy their song and dance that Mars is sterile. It is totally illogical to buy the religion of NASAism. It's illogical. Look at their pictures, consider the data, listen to what they say about it, and you will see what they say doesn't match the evidence. In many cases. Some cases it does. In many cases it matches. In many cases it does not. But it's totally illogical to just wholesale buy the religion of NASAism. It's dangerous in some respects. Not physically dangerous, but it's a little bit dangerous, a little risky, to question the religion of NASAism, because then the guys with the PhDs will look down their noses and say bad things about you. Oh, no. God help us all. Well, if there's evidence on Mars that something substantial moves, would you say that that could indicate that there's something living on Mars? So either it moved on its own, meaning it's alive, or some living thing moved it. I'm not talking about a piece of paper now that could just blow across the surface, but then you'd have to ask yourself, where'd that come from? But I'm not talking about something like that. I'm talking about something substantial with weight. The wind isn't going to blow it to a new position. If it moves, would you say that indicates there is some kind of life on Mars? It either moved on its own, so it's alive, or something alive moved it. That's the only two possibilities, isn't it? I can't think of any other possibilities. It either moved on its own, or somebody, something alive, moved it. Well, Spirit Rover captured such evidence. I'm going to show it to you. On Mars, when they talk about what day, see, Martian days are a little bit longer than Earth days. I don't know, like 38 minutes longer, something like that. And so it doesn't matter much on day one, but by the time you get to Earth day 100, those Martian days are not matching up at all. So what they do is they refer to them as sols, S-O-L. Sol 1 is the first day on Mars, and we're talking about a Martian day. Sol 2 is the second Martian day. Okay, so we're not even talking about Earth days. We're talking about Martian days. Well, on Sol, they sent up two rovers. Remember Spirit and Opportunity? And they sent them up pretty close in terms of time. They went up pretty close together. Opportunity still working. Spirit Rover finally gave up the ghost. It finally died. But on Sol 1833, Spirit Rover shot a picture. And the picture that Spirit Rover shot is pretty cool. It's pretty interesting. It's pretty anomalous. But what we see in this one picture is not really the anomaly that I'm going to focus on, although I am going to point out some anomalous features that we're looking at here. But there are three things in this picture. This picture shows us on the left side a pretty good-sized rock, and then right in the middle, there's this dark kind of a pile of something. And then on the right, well, that's pretty anomalous all by itself. You know, that kind of has the shape. Think of a statue of a horse that has tipped over, and the horse's nose is right down in the ground. His ear is pointed towards the ground. You can see the curve of his neck, and then, of course, there's the big crack across the neck. But what's really weird is look at what would be the front leg. That front leg with the elbow, and you know, just like a horse has, you know. But it's not long enough, doesn't come down into a hoof. It comes down into a flipper shape. Or, if you will, an arrowhead shape. Really weird. Now, I'm not saying that's a statue, because we're going to look at some other pictures that, and the other pictures, it really doesn't look like that. But in this shot, it kind of does. But we see that flipper shape. However, there's a yellow arrow right over that middle pile that's a dark color. So I've labeled these three things so we can kind of keep track of them. The big rock on the left is A. That dark pile of stuff in the middle is B. And that thing I said kind of looks like a statue of a horse with his face in the ground. That's C. The horse with a flipper. Let's see. So we have from left to right, A, B, C. And there's a yellow arrow over B. All right, now, I think maybe it would be a good thing for me to back out and just talk about that pile of stuff and that thing I said kind of looks like a statue. That pile of stuff, I don't know what it is. I'm saying it's a pile. It's standing up, but it doesn't look like a pile of like individual rocks piled up there. It looks like one mass. I'm not sure what it is. For those of you who are new to the show, don't go run screaming into the nighttime that I said there was a statue of a horse on Mars. That's not at all what I'm saying or implying. Well, there could be, but that's not what I'm saying or implying about this picture. I'm just describing a shape because we have people listening by radio and by using their telephones to listen, people listening on computer, and they're not watching. They could be because it's free to watch night. You just go to my website, click where it says watch. So I'm just describing so they can visualize it, the shape of it. It has that general shape. That's all I'm saying. I'm not implying, I'm not hinting that I think that's a statue of a horse. So throughout the show, if you hear me say it sort of looks like this or that, I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm describing it for people who are not able to watch us, and so they can picture in their minds the general shape of what we're talking about here. All right, so this is Sol 1833. There are three main things in that picture that we're going to look at. And I labeled them A, B, C. And the reason we're going to look at that is because would you say that if any one of those objects were to move, it would indicate that either it's alive or something alive moved it. All of those are substantial enough that the wind's not going to blow them around. I mean, they appear to be heavy. I don't know, that rock on the left, I know that's a rock. That sort of pile of, that black pile there in the middle, I don't know what that is. I have no idea. And then that horse-shaped thing, that's rock. The wind isn't going to move it. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and our discussion this evening about something anomalous on Mars. Keep in mind that these are NASA's pictures. Now, look, these pictures that we're looking at are pictures that I got from J.P. Skipper's website, MarsAnomaliesResearch.com. You need to go over there. It is absolutely phenomenal. J.P. Skipper, does work that's just over the top. Fantastic work. But these come from NASA, and I verified it. It's easy to do. You know, I have people that say, well, where do you find that link? Or give us that. You know, even if I don't give you the link, you know how to do this, right? You go to Google or Yahoo or Bing. And you type in Spirit Rover Sol 1833. And the link is going to pop up, and bang, you click the link, you get the picture. I did it. But these have a little bit of color added just to make it more visible. The ones that you will get from NASA are black and white, these pictures. But I checked it out, and these are, this is just exactly what you'll get from NASA, but these have a little bit of color added to give us more definition so our eyes can see depth better. And so that's why I'm using these. And I want to thank J.P. Skipper for his work. So once again, we have three objects here. These three objects are way too big for the wind to be blowing any of them around. They are substantial. They are heavy. I don't know how much they weigh, but it's not a piece of paper. You know, these are not pebbles. These are substantial. And when you go over to the NASA pages and take a look at it, you'll see, because there's more picture. We can't get all of that. The NASA picture is way too big for us to put it on the screen. Can't get it all on one screen. But you will see, these are pretty good-sized objects. If any one of them moves, A, B, or C, then we have to assume either that thing that moves is alive, or something alive moved it. And that's exactly what happened, because 10 days later, on Sol 1843, Spirit shot a picture of that same area. And B is gone. That black pile of whatever that is right there in the center is gone. 10 days separate these two pictures that are on your screen. The one at the bottom is picture number one. One at the top, picture number two. Picture number one was shot on Sol 1833. Picture number two was shot on Sol 1843. So 10 Martian days apart. And in 10 days, that object that was labeled B is gone. It's not there. All right, let's take a look at another set of pictures here. I'm going to go back and explain something. Picture number two, you see, is very wide. I already told you that the picture from NASA is too big for us to get all of it onto your screen. And it's too wide. So picture number two at the top. We're about to take a look at picture number three. Picture number three is simply picture number two extended more to the left. Okay? So where it cuts off on the left, we're going to see beyond that. We're going to see what's to the left. Okay? So here we go. And, well, let's see. There we go. All right. So now we can see what's to the left. Now I have labeled, we have picture number one at the bottom. I still have it labeled A, B, and C. We can see at the top that what was setting up there as B in the middle, it's now B all the way over on the left. It's moved all the way over on the left past that rock that I had labeled A. You see that? So at the bottom, we have Sol 1833, and this black pile, this black object, is sitting in the middle between a rock on one side and that horse-shaped rock on the right side. And so I labeled the rock on the left A, and this black object B, and the horse-shaped object C, moving from left to right. B has now moved way to the left of A. It's no longer in the middle. It has now moved way to the left of A. So either it's alive, or someone or something alive has moved it. I have no idea what that thing is. I don't know. I don't know. There it is, and this is NASA's own stuff. These are their pictures from Spirit Rover, Sol 1833 and Sol 1843. And as far as I am concerned, that shows that there is something alive on Mars. What? I don't know. If this black thing, that's what's alive, I still don't know what that is. I have no idea what that is. Whatever it is, if it's alive, the rover must be right at its home, or this thing is extremely interested in the rover because it hung around for 10 days. It just moved. Now, if it's not alive, then something alive moved it. And that has, of course, all kinds of questions like, first of all, what is it that would be alive that would move this object? And then why? Why would it move this object? Did it notice that the rover was paying attention to the object? And it didn't want the rover to pay attention for some reason, then there's another question. Why? So what is this object? See, this object then is very important. It's important because it moved. NASA's own evidence shows you, I just showed you their pictures. Their own evidence shows you it moved, and it didn't move like an inch. It moved several feet away to the left. So it's very important. There it is. It's important because it moved. And that indicates something is alive on Mars, either it or something else that moved it. It's also important because these pictures were taken several years ago, and there's been no comment from NASA about this. Shh. Silence is like putting up a neon sign around something that says, this is important. Silence is like taking a yellow highlighter pen and highlighting it and saying, this is important. And there's been silence on this. However, J.P. Skipper wasn't silent about it. J.P. Skipper noticed this. The guy does phenomenal work. He's written an outstanding report about this. It's on his website, again, Mars Anomaly Research. You need to go over there and check that out. I mean, you just got to do it. If you have any interest at all in the fact that there is evidence, not evidence that might show that there is life elsewhere, evidence that there is life elsewhere. I just showed you the evidence. That's not all he's got. Believe me, you need to go check it. But I just showed you evidence. And as far as I'm concerned, that evidence is proof. Something is alive on Mars. Either that black object or something else that moved it. It could not have moved around there several feet away, still staying behind the rocks. It could not have done that as a result of the wind blowing, especially if the atmosphere is as thin as NASA says it is. So they're up there with the Mars Curiosity rover now, and they say they're looking for signs that there ever could have been life on Mars. And you've heard me say, time and again, they know there's life on Mars. Look, if J.P. Skipper, a layman, can find this in their pictures, you think NASA didn't see this? You know they did. And they saw a lot more that they haven't let us see. They know there's life on Mars. Was there? They know there's life there now. Some people talk about that there is human life on Mars. Not Earth humans necessarily, but they look just like us. I don't doubt that. That would not surprise me. But I haven't seen the evidence of that. I have seen evidence on Mars that someone intelligent has been there and built buildings. I have seen that. And built roads. Yeah, I've seen that. And I've shown you that here. But this idea that, you know, curiosity is looking to see if the building blocks of life are there, and could life have ever existed there, and is it possible that life might be able to exist there now? Nonsense. They know this. Years ago, when these pictures were taken, they knew it that day. On the 10th day, Sol 1843, when Spirit Rover sent that picture down from Mars, they knew it that day that there was something alive on Mars. There's something alive on Mars right now as I speak to you. I don't know what it is. Is it animal life? Is it intelligent life? I don't know. But I showed you the evidence, photographic evidence from NASA, that there is life on Mars. But there's a couple of more things that are interesting in these pictures. All right, look at picture number one. In fact, let me go back to a larger version of picture number one. I want you to look at that, the thing on the right that I labeled C. I want you to take a look at that. The thing that I said, that looks like a statue of a horse, okay? Now I'm going to put it side by side with... Well, we have a break taking over. We come back, I'm going to show you something really weird. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Free to watch night here. I hope you're watching. And if you can't figure out how to watch, how about go to my website, click where it says watch. That'll work for you. All right, so we're talking about life on Mars. And I have unambiguously stated here there is life on Mars. And I have unambiguously shown you NASA's own photographic evidence that that's the case. I didn't make it up. It's not something I dreamed. NASA took the pictures. And I've shown you unambiguous evidence. As far as I'm concerned, it's proof. There is life on Mars. This is also why I have said that the stated mission of Curiosity rover, I don't think is a real mission. I don't think that's the real mission. It's something else is up. I'm glad it's there. I'm not opposed to it. And I don't think I am. I think I am in support of it. And I'm glad it's there, and we're getting some fabulous pictures with some fantastic anomalies in these pictures from the Curiosity rover. But they say it's there looking for the building blocks of life to see if life ever was possible to see if it ever existed on Mars. And they know. These are their pictures that we're looking at. And these pictures were several years ago. I'm not sure. I think this was like 2007. Sol 1833, whatever, I don't know. But Sol 1833 through 1843 for the Spirit rover. They know. So, you know, this statement that that's what Curiosity is looking for, to see if it was ever even... There's life there now, and they know it. Now, I'm going to show you something in these pictures, again, that's pretty cool. So 1833 and 1843, we're going to put side by side. And I want you, if you will, to look at that. The one on the left is 1833. The one on the right is from 1843. It's a little bit different. A slightly different angle by about maybe 6 inches. Different position. But look at that flipper thing. If that were a horse and that were its leg, its front leg, instead of going on down normal length and ending in a hoof, it ends in a flipper. You see that? And compare it with the one 10 days later. So here's the question. Is the flipper, I mean, they're quite different. They're in a quite different position and configuration. Is the flipper thing something alive itself? It appears to have moved, to have changed. So is it something that is alive? And maybe not a part of that extension, and in fact, when I've zoomed in here, you can see the flipper on the left. I mean, the thing may not actually be attached to that thing that looks like a leg. It may just be laying up against it, but it has a different position. And 10 days later. That's not quite as noticeable, though, as that big black object that was between these two big rocks. It has moved, and it has moved feet away, and in a matter of 10 days. So these are anomalies. Anomalies come in a lot of different flavors, folks. Sometimes we find things that look like buildings and ruins of buildings and ruins of a collection of buildings even. We find things that are just way, way too weird to be done by nature. Now, the debunkers say nature does some weird stuff. No, it doesn't. It makes some cool patterns sometimes. It makes some cool formations sometimes, but you can look at it and tell that, yeah, you know, maybe that kind of looks like George Washington's pet dog. But I can tell that's a rock formation. You know, that's the way nature does things. I've seen nature produce something that looked like a pyramid. But it wasn't. It was one big solid slab of rock, looked like a pyramid. But on the backside of it, it extended on into a mountain range. It was just a sheared off end of a mountain. I saw that. I used to pass that when I would go from Pristina, Kosovo, down into Skopje, Macedonia. I would pass that as I got near the border of Macedonia. It's on the right-hand side as you're headed down into Macedonia. Looks like a pyramid until you look at, you know, what's beyond it and you see that's nature. You can look at things and tell pretty much whether nature did it or not. When you have a perfect rectangle, buried in sand, but visible through the sand. Here on Earth, when they see that in a, from a satellite shot, the archaeologists get all excited because they say, oh, well, there's some buried piece of civilization there. Show them the same thing on Mars, and you get all these long-winded PhD explanations for why that's not what it is. It is what it appears to be. Now, I've shown you in these pictures here today, tonight, I've shown you evidence from NASA that life is there now. This is by far not the only evidence there is. It may not even be the best, but it's good and it's compelling evidence. It's very clear that that object moved several feet. And now, I can't tell exactly how far it has moved, but I am guessing that that is a distance of about 8 to 10 feet. It has moved. There is life on Mars. As I stated, I've said it clearly and unambiguously. If you're new to this show, that kind of talk, clear and unambiguous, backed by the evidence, is probably something really new to you. But I invite you to make this a part of your everyday schedule, because we do this every night. Not Mars, but I mean clear, unambiguous, and backed by evidence. And if you have an explanation, we're going to take a break here in just a little bit. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to open the telephone lines. And if you have an explanation for how that could move and not be alive and not have something living move it, I'd like to hear that. I would really like to hear that, because you would obviously know something about physics that I don't know. I want to hear it. But what we're going to do when we come back from break is I'm going to open the phone lines, and we're going to make it so that we can talk about any topic you want to talk about, as long as it's in the genre of this show. That means it's got to be in the world of the strange and unexplained. But we don't talk about politics. It's nothing strange about that. Politicians don't tell you the truth, and therefore you don't get what you thought you were going to get. Nothing strange about that. What's strange is that you thought you were going to get it. We don't talk about politics. We don't talk about, religious dogma. But we do talk about the world of the strange and unexplained. So when we come back from the break here in just I think we've got about a minute before break. When we come back from the break, I'm going to open the phone lines, and anything in the world of strange and unexplained is fair game, and we'll talk about it. But I also want you to keep in mind what I've just shown you here this evening. I have shown you clear, irrefutable, unambiguous evidence from NASA that there is life on Mars, some kind of life. I don't know what that is. I don't know if that thing is alive or if something else that is alive moved it. But something's alive because it moved. We'll be back. And welcome back to the unambiguous Kevin Smith Show. those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. I'm delighted you're here, and you have my sincere sympathy for whatever it is that kept you away from the first hour. Telephone lines are open at 623-444-5889. For those of you who live outside of the United States and you live outside of Canada, we understand that calling us, although you may, can be rather expensive. And so for you, we have a flash message option on the website. Just go to the website, scroll down, you see the picture about tonight's show, and right above it's a link that says flash message. So if you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada, you can send us your comments and your questions via the flash message. All right, to the telephone caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is John from your old stomping grounds in Mesa, Arizona.
Hello, John.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, I thought that's quite a fascinating anomaly that you have a picture of. If you could put the second one up, I thought I might have caught something in the foreground of that photo and maybe worth looking at again. But
okay, is this the picture you're talking about?
Yeah, the second one, the one on top.
Uh-huh.
Okay, can you put just that one up?
No.
No?
No, I don't have just that one.
Okay. You blew it up, I think.
No, the one that I zoomed in on is this one, and it's the one with the flipper.
Oh, okay, yeah. That kind of, I would, if I was running the rover, I would definitely have gone up and taken a picture of that and looked at it. They look kind of like the two feeler arms on a squid, but the rest of the body doesn't resemble a squid at all.
No, I mean, if you look at the one on the right, you can see that we're looking at rock. I mean, that's real clear that
a
rock.
I agree, but I was thinking maybe a statue or a figure that had, was part of who knows, castle, palace, or whatever.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
In that picture, down right in the middle, under your arrow that goes across, that almost looks like rover tracks. And I just had a thought, and I'll throw it out there and see what you think. If I was running the rover, I would have wandered right up to that head-looking piece that's moved in that picture, picked it up with whatever arm I had on the rover, looked at it, and if it was nothing, maybe dropped it, and not worried about it anymore. But I would have definitely gone up, like you said, and looked at it again, and he may have found something else and didn't feel it was important enough to put it back in the same spot.
But the thing is,
just another thought.
Yeah, that Spirit Rover doesn't have any arms big enough to have picked that up.
Okay.
The Spirit Rover is...
I didn't know, sizes here. I don't have a comparison.
Yeah, if you Google Sol 1833 or Sol 1843, first, here's how you Google it. Spirit Rover, Sol 1833. Then you'll see their picture, and you'll see all of the relative sizes because it's a big panoramic picture. And these are big rocks. These are not little.
Right.
And you'll see them. They're right up at the top of NASA's picture, and they're prominent in the picture. They're bigger than anything else in the picture.
I must have been thinking of the new one that they sent up that has drills on it and go out and drill into rocks.
Well, Spirit has that too,
smaller.
But actually, I don't think Curiosity has arms big enough to pick this stuff up.
Maybe they. I was thinking, he got up there close enough and had some kind of probe he could have driven into it and moved it over to see what was underneath. See if there were more details on it.
Well, all right. Let's
my mind wander here.
Let's back off and take a look. If they drove up to it and moved it, they would have had to go between these two big rocks to move it, and to move it
to the right of that pointiest looking rock.
Well, they moved it to the left.
Excuse me, that's what I meant.
Left. Uh-huh. No, yeah, they moved it around to the left. And, you know, well, that's not the picture. Here we go. It moved it way around there to the left behind those rocks.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that's the case. I don't think they drove right up in. Now, they may have driven up to that thing I said looks kind of like a statue of a horse.
Mm-hmm.
They may have driven up to that because that's some of the dirt there right under the letter C. Come on down to the dirt. That some of that dirt looks a little bit chewed up and disturbed, but no, really no more than the dirt back there behind B. I don't know. But I know that Spirit Rover isn't physically capable of picking that thing up and moving it. Spirit Rover, if you take a Volkswagen Bug and cut it in half, you're about down to Spirit Rover.
Okay. Well, your B picture looks like it's got a ridge around the middle of it, and
mm-hmm.
kind of resembles some of the old Egyptian or Roman headwear, and for their soldiers and stuff. But
now I'll tell you what I can zoom in on that. Let's see.
It looks kind of polished, you know, on. And shiny where the sun's hitting in on this side.
Now I'm going to zoom in on that dark object, and you know, I did that on my software as well. I do not know. You know, I'll tell you that looks like. Now, folks, remember what I said about looks like, okay? That looks like it has the general appearance of, you've seen pictures of like when the space shuttle would take off and it had those flared nozzles, rocket nozzles on the bottom right near the ground and the flames were coming out. It looks like kind
of
like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a little top knot on it. I don't know what that is.
Well, that's to hold the fez on, you know.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's very, very odd. It's very strange. But the fact that that thing has moved in 10 days.
It is problematic. You know, it's either the rover did it or somebody did it, you know.
Well, the rover can't do it.
We know the rover moves, but we know if this is as heavy as we think it is, it's.
Well, the rover just doesn't have the equipment on it to pick it up and move it.
It could have bumped it, you know, and that may have been.
Well, it would have had to bump it, bump it, bump it, bump it, bump it for 10 feet. We'll see tracks all the way around there.
Does it look like it's sloping away from that on the far side to you or not? Does it look like it's sloped? Yeah, it looks kind of like it slopes down, so in the top picture.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's been moved, but
you don't really buy your story, do you?
Pardon?
You don't really buy your story, do you?
No, I'm just talking here, throwing things out. You know?
Yeah, the rover is not capable of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you what. Now I'm going to zoom in on the picture where we can see it. You've got a picture up on your screen right now. The A, B, and C is all, that's not going to be in the right place. Forget about those. I didn't move those. I'm just going to zoom the picture. And so now we see that object, and you see that little top notch setting up there on it?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, man. That is so weird. But I'll tell you what I do see back there. No tracks.
Right. That tail section on the other piece, I just thought of something else. Kind of reminds me of some of the water animals or Aquarius animals that you would have seen on a Zodiac.
Yeah, you're talking about the flipper?
Correct.
Yeah. I don't know if I can get this picture back at the right size where it was. Yeah, there we go. I have to, these Zooms, I have to do them manually when I do them. And so.
Sometimes, you know, looking at these pictures reminds me of the Horshack test.
Well, you know, trying to figure out what this is, yeah. But
we're left to it because we don't get better pictures from NASA, and we only get the ones that slip through. And so we're left to make up, you know, our own minds as to what we're looking at with minimal information.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know what this thing is, but whatever it is, moved. And it moved a significant distance, and it's a significant size and weight. And, you know, you'd have to have hurricane force winds to move a rock that size. Well, and whatever it is did not move the other rocks.
Exactly. That was where I was going.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever that white, the rocks that is next to in the top picture,
mm-hmm.
looks like the smaller one and the other one may have been together, and that white exposed part is where they broke apart.
Could be. It could be. It could be. But the movement of this object, in my opinion, proves there is life on Mars, because
something moved it.
That's right. It either moved on its own, meaning it's alive, or someone that is, so I say someone, something alive, moved it, one or the other.
Well, when you were talking about it earlier, I was thinking maybe something geological like an earthquake, that it would have moved everything.
Yeah. 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 I think it would. Okay, John, I appreciate the call, man.
All right. Thanks for talking to me.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Have you ever seen this picture? Some of you have, but actually it's two pictures taken 10 days apart. But it, I think, is very anomalous and very amazing. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, it's Lasha from Vancouver.
Hello, Lasha.
Kevin, that's the weirdest picture I've ever seen.
Well, you haven't seen all the pictures of all of my exes, though. I shouldn't say that. I really, you know, and listen, I just did it for comic relief, but I have to tell you, I never married an ugly woman. They're all beautiful.
No women are ugly, Kevin.
There you go. But they're all of them beautiful.
Absolutely.
And they just didn't have real good taste, because they'd have stuck with me if they had.
Right.
Fool's day. Oh, my.
So, Kevin, that is the weirdest picture. Do you know what it looks like to me?
What does it look like?
I noticed a couple of things in there.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, that black object that moves, that looks alive to me. It looks like it's a telescoped up kind of anthill.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, like, and maybe it's something from under the ground that's feeding, looking for different resources. Like, it comes up every 10 feet.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Hmm.
Like, it goes down and it comes up over there. It's feeding, you know?
Hmm.
You see that little top notch?
Yeah.
Look in the background. There's lots of them on the ground.
Hmm. All right. Now, see, you know what you did? You made me have to zoom that in.
Yeah.
Okay. Hang on. And let's look in the background here. All right.
I just see that shape repeated back there, you know?
Hmm. Well, I don't know. Maybe. It's possible.
I think that's some kind of plant life.
Well, it might be.
Or an anthill of some kind.
You know, with those bands around it, you know, you see, it looks like two sections around it towards the bottom.
Yep.
I kind of thought, you know, that kind of looks like an armadillo shell.
Yeah, like it's it would telescope up, you know, to open, you know, or maybe the top notches were catching it unfurling too. Maybe it.
Maybe.
And you know, another thing I notice.
What's that?
That thing that looks like a squid horse.
The squid horse, yeah.
If you look at it, every dimple on it has got a pair to it. Now, the reason I noticed this is because I've got the same thing. Every freckle I have is paired. And a doctor told me once that that has to do with the brain.
Mm.
So, like, you know, look at every one of those little divots. Each one, if you get real, I think you have a closer picture of it.
Yeah, I do. Let me zoom back in over here. Okay. Yeah.
Do you see them?
They're in pairs.
Isn't that weird?
Mm-hmm. But when we put them side by side, we can see that really is rock. You know?
I don't know. Did you ever see the episode of Star Trek where they had living rocks?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I had not noticed that, but yes, they are in pairs.
Every one of those little holes has it. It's like nature wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't think so. What do you think of the flipper?
Do you know what? When it's in the first picture where it's flat on the ground, it looks to me like some sort of crustacean, and then it's turned. Do you know, I would just say that it's moving.
Well, I'm going to zoom in on the flipper, all right? Here we go. All right. So.
Do you see the striation lines in it?
I do. It looks ripply, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean.
Shell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Almost, like, maybe that's, you know how turtles move through the sand, you know?
Mm. So you think this is a Martian turtle?
A Martian turtle squid horse.
Well, do you see in this picture why I say it is possible that that flipper is not actually attached to that thing that looks like a leg coming off of that stone?
I see what you mean, because it could be almost like a tear-shaped rock sitting there.
Yeah, but I don't think it's a rock. Now, it may be now. It may be a fossil.
Could be.
Now, I'm going to show you exactly why I said that looks like a horse. Okay. And it's got the right general shape, but look at the head.
Wow. You see, I'm looking at that crack, too. It's a very convenient crack down the middle of it. How would that have happened?
Well, I don't know. You know, we hear the stories that at one time there was a great Martian civilization, you know, and that they had a huge cataclysm and that civilization went away. Now, those are the stories we hear, but I haven't seen solid evidence that I have seen solid evidence that there were intelligent people there. I haven't seen solid evidence of a great civilization. However, that really has some features that look like it could be a statue.
Do you know another thing about this picture? You know, the light is weird because the white rock is so lit up, like if the brightest light is where this direction of the light is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, the other squid thing, isn't lit up in the same spot, like it's a different direction of light.
Mm-hmm.
That's strange.
There's a lot strange here. I'm going to zoom in on this picture once again, Lasha. And I want to show you something on this thing that I said looks like it's the general shape of a horse statue.
Yep.
Um, Okay, here we go. Do you see swirls and designs etched into that?
I do. But you know, that could be like coral.
It could be.
You know, would that's life?
Yeah. That would be life too, wouldn't it?
Look at those dimples.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Now, you know, this is why I say people need to go over to J.P. Skipper's website, because this is one amongst literally hundreds, maybe thousands, that
really?
He's got over there, and he writes reports about them. And just a phenomenal amount of information over there. And the quality of the information is phenomenal as well.
There's a lot of triangle-shaped rocks jutting up in the background. Look at that one dark blob in the back, too.
Yeah.
Maybe that's another anthill kind of thing.
Yeah, it might be. Well, if that's an anthill, these are anthills from hell, because the conditions are rugged there.
You do not want them at your picnic.
No. Not at all. Lasha, thanks for the call.
Not a problem, Kevin.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Great observations. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Kathy in Las Vegas.
Hi, Kathy.
This is going to sound really weird.
Uh-huh.
But picture 1B, to me, kind of looks like a figure standing behind a portable cardboard camouflage shield type. Like they can, if they're watching the rover or whatever, the Spirit rover, if they're watching it from behind a portable cover.
Yeah, well, like, you know, I thought that too, and it looks like his legs sticking out there.
Yeah, wearing a black pith helmet, and then the other picture has a different colored pith helmet.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I thought too but that would be a real short little Martian if he's standing there behind a shield.
Everything's possible.
Yeah, it is. Everything is possible. Yeah, I thought about that too. It looks like he's got a, you know, some kind of hat on, and it looks like a leg sticking back there, and like he's kind of kneeled down behind a shield.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very fascinating. Also, there are rocks in Death Valley that move on their own very slowly, but they leave some kind of trail, so maybe it's the same species of rock. Not the figure behind the shield, but maybe some other rocks that move.
Well, yeah, but the ones in Death Valley are not this size. This is almost 2 feet tall.
Different atmospheric conditions? I don't know. It is very, very oddly, strangely cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and, you know, the thing, too, in Death Valley, you'll see a bunch of these rocks moving across the valley. And there's really not much explanation for that. But here we just have the one. You want to hang on through this break?
Sure thing.
All right. We'll be back, folks, right after this.
And you're listening to The Kevin Smith Show, also known as the world's hottest talk show host.
Welcome back to the world's hottest talk show host. And on the line with me from Nevada is Kathy. Kathy, do you think these things, whatever it is alive, or do you think something alive moved it?
I'm thinking something alive is moving it. And it perhaps like a bug carapace, big, enormous, giant shell. On the second picture, it looks more like a big, giant bug shell.
Hmm. Well, it could be like a big beetle of some kind.
But they just use the big bug shell as a cover.
That would be one heck of a big bug, wouldn't it? That would be. Can you imagine a bug that big? Wow. I mean, you know, you wouldn't have to. You wouldn't go after these guys with a can of Raid. You'd have to use a 12-gauge shotgun.
Especially since back in the ancient Paleozoic times, our bugs were bigger because they did have different oxygen levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, now, you know, you brought up something there that is really a possibility. NASA says that there's almost no oxygen. It's just such a small amount. It's just a trace amount of oxygen in the atmosphere of Mars. And yet, we have seen, right here on this show, you've seen it, NASA's own pictures of water droplets forming, condensing and forming on the leg of their Phoenix lander up near the North Pole. Now, that means there's a lot of oxygen getting together with a lot of hydrogen to form H2O. Okay, so we know that what they say about the atmosphere is not right, but here's what we know from Viking lander back in, I think it was 1975. The chief biologist on that, Dr. Harold Klein, said, and I have played the sound clip of it before, he said, and I quote, "What we found there in that atmosphere was something like 15 times more oxygen than we could account for from all known sources." Now, he said that publicly. Plus, we know from that from Viking and also from that Phoenix lander that when they scoop up dirt and put it into the lander and into one of its little ovens and bake it, and then do a spectrograph, sniff what comes off of it, you know, and analyze what's in that dirt, there's a huge spike for oxygen. When you burn the dirt on Mars, you get a lot of oxygen, lots of oxygen. So maybe a bug that lives in the dirt would have such a concentration of oxygen that it could be that size.
And only the things on top of the dirt would be smaller and non-existent because all the oxygen is trapped in the soil.
Well, a lot of it is, but not all of it, because it does form liquid water. Their own pictures showed liquid water.
And yet our own atmosphere contains much, much, much less oxygen than it had in earlier parts in our history.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And, you know, you brought up the point that back when we had more oxygen in our atmosphere, animals were bigger. And there have been tests done in modern times where they have grown animals and plants in atmospheres of a lot more oxygen, and they do get lots bigger. A whole lot
bigger. I'm glad
bigger.
I'm not living where they are living.
I eat like a bird. I don't eat enough to keep most people alive. And I don't need to. I never have. But I just don't eat much. And yet, I carry 220 pounds. I've always been a big guy. If I ate like normal people, I'd weigh 500 pounds. And if I lived in an oxygen-rich atmosphere, I bet I'd be 9 feet tall and weigh 1,000 pounds.
But a lot of yogis don't eat much food, and they do very fine, too. They get their nourishment from the environment, so.
I get mine from the coffee cup.
So do I.
Kathy, thanks for the call.
Not a problem. You have a good night. This is fascinating. I love looking at this stuff.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
What about you? 623-444-5889. I was sort of expecting, and maybe they will happen before the show is over, some flash messages from Australia, because there's been somewhat of a UFO flap over around Melbourne in the past couple of weeks. So I thought possibly we would get some from Australia. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Joni from St. Louis.
Hello, Joni.
Hi. I'm looking at on his website, Mars Anomalies Research.
Uh-huh.
And it's fascinating. What I've noticed, his first screenshot of Sol 1833,
mm-hmm.
you know that left boulder originally has a black rock, tinier, you know, spherical rock behind it a little way.
Mm-hmm.
And the cone-shaped one is over where it originally is. And then when you go, oh, this is so fascinating to me, because when you go to the other shot where it's missing on, let's see, that'd be 1836.
Yeah, it goes missing on 1836.
1843, mm-hmm. The little black rock has traded places also with the cone-shaped one. You know, we're all amazed that that other one is on the left,
mm-hmm.
where it had been by the other fossil thing you've been talking about. But did you notice that the little black rock also switched?
I had not noticed that. I had not noticed that. But you're right. this went missing before 1843. I chose 1843 because I could get the panoramic view where, you know, we can go left and see where that large cone-shaped black object has moved to.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, you're right.
they switched places.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I've been trying to analyze the small angles before I called, because at the bottom of each photo, by the Mars rover or Spirit rover, you know, they're saying Sol 1843 or 1836. It'll say, you know, did you notice the right? It'll say like 6 of 14 and 7 of 14
mm-hmm.
images.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying they're taking 10 days between each other.
No, I'm saying I chose images that are 10 days apart.
Okay, because I'm trying to figure out how NASA has numbered these things. Why do they jump from 30 to 33 to 36?
Well, originally they did not. Originally, you could get them every day, for every day, just like you can with Curiosity. But let me tell, that's a good point you bring up. Let me tell the audience, if you're interested in this kind of stuff, you better download all of the Curiosity images as they put them up. You better get them now, because they will disappear just like this happened. And what happens, for instance, if you go over and look at Sol 1836 or 1843 or 1833, you're going to get one image.
Oh, only one image without the changes.
Yeah. You'll get an image for each of those days. Now, on another site somewhere, they might have still all of the images. But on the main site where you used to be able to get them all, they choose one representative image, and that's it. And the others disappear from that. And that'll happen with the Curiosity pages, too.
Okay, because the other thing that I wanted to bring up, while I was analyzing, and what the other caller, she had said she was noticing some lighting, you know, lighter spots on some of the rocks. What I was noticing in general is that some of the photos are lighter and the angles are different.
Mm-hmm.
That's obvious. You notice that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was trying to figure out what the timing is on between the images, because just the lighting itself makes a difference too, or the angle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was just kind of curious how these images were being taken. So you've kind of explained a little bit to me now about that.
Yeah, you know, like Curiosity will shoot, let's say it shoots 80 pictures today, okay? Those 80 pictures will be available, all 80 pictures are available for a while.
Oh.
And, but now, 5 years from now, if you go to Sol 7 for Curiosity Rover, they'll have one or two representative pictures up, and, you know, they'll have an archive somewhere where you can get all of them, but, you know, just the easily accessible pictures on the web, they'll just have one or two representative pictures.
Well, he's got a great website, and I appreciate you directing us to this, especially the one, Sol 1843, that actually shows just the opposite positions on those two,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
talking about.
Yeah, so. Let's see. Let me see if I can get the right picture up. Yeah. In the picture that's up there now, I have it labeled photo number 3. You can see the tall, dark cone shape all the way over at the left now. And in the middle is a sort of spherical rock. Well, if you look down at picture number 1, that spherical rock is sitting directly behind the big white rock A. And it moves up and takes the place of B. B moves all the way over to the left. So that might indicate that something is moving stuff.
Yeah, I'm kind of inclined to think that.
Hmm.
Somehow.
Yeah. Might be.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you.
All right, thanks for the call. Good observations. Wow, you see, this is one of the reasons I love for the audience to call in and talk, because the audience, this is one set of eyes and one brain, and eyes are not so good, and the brain's pretty good, but it's just one. And all of you see other things and notice other things that I have not noticed, and so it's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, that mound that moves is something else. You know, when I first saw it, being a guy who's oriented to gardening and working in the soil, my first thought was worm castings. You know, how when they emerge from the soil, damp soil or even dry, there'll be piles of real fine earth that the worm has eaten and digested and cast off. You'll see that little mound sometimes when ants do their work, too. And, of course, there are the termites in Africa that build these huge structures, the mound-building termites. It kind of reminded me of that until you showed us the picture where the thing moved.
All right, Steve, you got to hang on. We have a break taking over. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on Final Approach, and we're talking about some weird stuff. And on the telephone with me is Steve from Georgia. Steve, you got cut off by the break, so the mic is yours.
Okay, well, Lasha made an observation that resonates with me, and when she thought of it as being some creature that pops up out of the soil here and there, and I immediately remembered a show that you did, golly, it's probably been a year ago. You talked about this creature that's down in the Gobi Desert.
I just thought about that when you started talking about it, yeah.
Exactly. That big old worm-like creature with jaws that can sense warm blood.
Yep.
it's very predatory, and I couldn't imagine that that would be the kind of mound that it would leave if it popped its head up. And now, to get even more basic, you know, we can speculate all we want, but you think about life, and I go back to Aristotle's definition of life, and he divided it into three forms: vegetative, animal, and rational. And he said vegetative life can take in substances, turn them into nutrients, and thrive off of them, and eventually decay and die. Animal life does the same thing, with the added bonus of it can move all by itself. Mm-hmm. An animal can move. And then rational life does the things that the vegetative life does, the animal life, plus it can operate on intentionality, and it has consciousness and can think. Now, this thing moved, or got moved. So to me, that is evidence not only of life, but of animal life at the mere basic. You know, there has to be at least animal life. And for NASA to have these pictures available for us to see and yet continue to carry the pretense that they're still looking for signs of life, obviously, you know, they feel like we haven't even caught up with Aristotle yet, you know, and his definition of life. And here's another sideline for you, Kevin. I don't know if you knew this or not, but human beings and their circadian rhythm, you know, their circadian rhythm is our kind of internal biological 24-hour clock.
Right.
It's not exactly 24 hours. What it is geared to the minute, is the Martian soul.
You're exactly right.
So, you know, that also ought to get some wheels turning in people's minds. You know, and we know that there's animal life up there. We see evidence of it. And that our circadian rhythm is keyed to the Martian soul.
You're exactly right.
That ought to get some wheels turning.
So what do you think? What's your best guess on this? Is this thing alive and it moved, or do you think something that is alive moved it?
I want to say something that is alive moved it. That would be a guess, but that's just that's my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, and all of us at that point are just guessing. But here's what we're not guessing about. It moved.
Roger that.
And that means there is something alive on Mars. Either it or something else that moved it is alive. And you pointed this out, and that you're exactly right. NASA had these pictures, and you can believe the day they got that picture back that showed it had moved, they knew. They analyzed. Listen, they have some of the best photo analysts on the planet. They analyze every pixel of every photograph that comes back. And you can bet they knew it moved.
It's kind of insulting, isn't it, Kevin?
I guess, in a way, for some people maybe. I just expect it from NASA.
Well, what's insulting to me is that they're using my tax dollars to perpetrate their hoax. You know, that aggravates me. I'm not real happy about that.
Well, I can tell you this, if you didn't know, NASA's not the only government agency doing that.
That's true. That's true. It's a ubiquitous event.
Yeah. And at least they released the pictures.
That is correct.
Mhm.
You got to give them that.
Yeah. And for that, I applaud NASA. I thank them. And I'll tell you this. There are people in NASA who cheer every time we score a goal like this on this show, or J.P. Skipper does on his website. There are people who personally, silently cheer because they want people to know. And they're prevented by law from telling us.
Well, I appreciate those unsung heroes, Kevin. I can see that happening,
mm-hmm.
And I appreciate them.
I do, too. And, you know, I'm very hard on NASA about some things. Really hard on some things. But I think that NASA is worthy of continued existence, and I still stand by my statement. I think we ought to double their budget, and I think Congress ought to give them a new mandate that tells them, okay, here's the deal. We're going to double your budget. You quit lying to the American people. You tell them what you find, and let's get on with this.
Right. NASA is not in Capitol Hill, and it's not in the White House, so they don't need to be telling lies.
No.
You know, that's not their job description.
Yeah. All right, man. Thanks for the call.
You bet, Kevin.
All right. Bye. Have time for one call if you call right now, and then we will be at the end of the show. You know, there are people who sort of campaign that NASA ought to just completely go out of business. And that's one of the reasons that I point out so often on this show, and then where are you going to get these pictures? Who else is giving them to you? Nobody. So we do find things in NASA's pictures that absolutely slap NASA's official statement to the ground. We do find evidence, solid evidence, that just grand slams them to the ground. And that some people say, well, you know, NASA's lying to us. And yeah, they are about some things, demonstrably. They are about some things. But they're doing what they are told to do. You need to understand that. And you need to think about this before you, if it ever comes up for a vote somewhere where you can somehow vote on whether NASA ought to go out of business or stay in business or whatever. Remember, nobody else is giving you pictures like this. And the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force all have space programs. All of them. And they have evidence. They have information about what's going on these planets. You're not getting a drop from them. And you're not going to. So remember that if you get too negative about NASA. Remember that the only evidence we're getting is from them here in the USA. Now, of course, there's the ESA, the European Space Agency, and there are the Russians. And they release some stuff, but nobody releases the volume of pictures that NASA releases. Nobody. And if they're gone, then our access to this kind of data is gone. And it won't come back. So I support NASA. I don't support everything they do and how they do it, but I support the existence of NASA. And I am for doubling their budget. And, you know, and people say, well, we can't afford it. NASA gets like, what, $19 billion a year. That sounds like a lot of money. And the bankers got what, a trillion? All right, that's it. That's the end of the show. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.